started with the 1 o'clock session today. Hello and welcome to the Tech Wizards Conference. My name is Doc Severson with ReadySet.Trade. Over the course of the next few minutes, I'm going to give you my best advice on tech and trading, but I'm also going to add some content about what's between your ears and how you can better leverage your brain for best results. So let's get started with the 7 steps to better trading results. And before I get started, I'd like to thank our hosts at Timing Research and Trade Out Loud for having me. Thanks again, David. All right, so here we go. 7 steps to better trading results. First of all, before we get started, I'm sure you guys have seen these all day long, but I'm not going to read through all of this, but I want you guys to understand or just reiterate the fact that if you don't treat trading like a business, if you treat it like a hobby, if you treat it like something that's an adrenaline rush, it will be the most expensive hobby that you could possibly imagine. So don't do that. Who am I? So some of you may know me. My name is Doc Severson. I've been an individual trader and performance coach since 2005. Currently, the services that I am working with, and I'm proud to work those with my son, is ReadySet.Trade, as well as ReadySetCrypto.com. We've been running ReadySet Crypto for a couple of years now, and ReadySet.Trade, we just kicked off a week ago. We'll talk about that later on, but lots in between. So you may have heard me before. I've been involved with services like OptionsMD, TheoTrade, Doc's Trading Tools, and once upon a time, way, way, way back when, was Options Linebacker. So my specialties are fractal price analysis, option and futures trading strategies. And out of necessity, I've had to become a trading mindset expert to get over my own liabilities. And recently what I've done is, this one's been out for a few years now, Hacking the Holy Grail is more about overcoming those limitations. That's a book on Amazon. It's available in Kindle as well as in print format, as well as my latest creation, which is fractal energy trading. So I finally have gotten this into print format over at Amazon.com. So you're welcome to check those out. And if you need to contact me at the end of today's presentation, doc@readyset.trade. All right. My purpose. I've got a purpose. I've got a special purpose here today. I've been trading the live markets every day since 2004. And during that time, I've made every mistake that a retail trader can make. And then some. I'm a flawed human being, right? I do my best to learn from my mistakes so that I don't make them again. I don't want to make the same mistake twice. And I like to share these discoveries. I get excited about stuff that I decode and that I fix, and I like to share them with people. And so this is sort of at gunpoint, I became a trading coach. People started knocking on my door and said, hey, can you help me too? And I was once trained as an engineer, but I was able to overcome that liability to become a profitable trader. So I do like things with lots of buttons and dials and wheels on them. I've used a lot of tools in my trading career to this point. I do have some strong opinions on what works and what doesn't work. And I hope you find these observations useful in today's presentation. And I don't have any affiliations. I'm not going to trot out some affiliate link today for anything like that. So everything that I say is based on my own experience and using these tools. Ready, set, let's get started. Step 1 of the 7 steps. Use the right tool for the job. A good craftsman never blames his tools, but they usually do start with the right ones to begin with. My first point is, don't think about price alone when you're thinking of these tools. So I'm sure if you've been listening to the entire series since this morning and into tomorrow, you're going to hear a lot of different tools. You're going to see a lot of different presentations from a lot of people, and you're going to say, oh, that looks really cool, but man, that's way too expensive. I can't afford that. And I want you to think about that mindset for a second, because it's easy to get trapped into this web of excuses there. I can't use that tool because it's too expensive. That, my friends, is called a scarcity mindset. If you have a scarcity mindset, that will ensure that money remains scarce throughout your life. And perhaps that may be something that you might need to look into, versus an abundance mindset saying, hey, you know what? If I get that tool, that's going to unlock some new edge in my trading. And perhaps that's going to be what gets that stone over the top of the hill. So run your trading like a business, be able to justify costs for the tools that you need. If you can't justify it, then don't do it. But if you think it's going to add edge to your, it's worth at least a try. Always get the best tools that you can. Don't be a harbinger of excuses. Now, not all brokers are the same. I thought this was really kind of cute. You know, you open up Robinhood, and Robinhood's got this little thing like, hey, I think it's going up. And so you punch this button here. And so then it gives you some choices here. Buy a call, high risk, short term, medium risk, medium term, those kind of things. Or you could punch this button over there that says, I think it's going down. That to me is, that's novel, that's cute. But if you compare that versus something like this over at Tastyworks, like, hey, I'd like to set up a spread and I'd like my probability of profits to be somewhere around 40% with this trade. I I'd like to have positive deltas, and I'm willing to incur some negative theta and make sure that my reward to risk is pretty close to 1-to-1. Well, then you've got the right tool, but you're not going to find that through Robinhood, right? So I'm not going to sit there and compare. We're not going to do a bake-off between the different brokers in today's presentation, but I want to remind you that not all brokers are the same, and you should get the very best one that is going to bring out the best of your skills. Now, there are different tools for different markets. Don't let anybody talk you into getting a Swiss Army knife to trade. Well, I can do everything with one interface. Well, that's good, but that usually means that there's going to be a compromise along the way. So to me, brokers fit into three different buckets, and there's probably more depending on what type of trading that you actually do. But in my world, it's mostly stocks, options, and futures. And so we all know online brokers that specialize in stocks. There are a couple left that specialize in options, and there's a lot of little niche firms that specialize in futures. So trying to get something that does them all is going to lead you with a compromise at some point somewhere. And is that going to do it for you? Or is that going to be another excuse that you're going to use to say, well, it's my broker's fault, or I can't figure out the dome, or I can't do this, or the data feed's too slow. You know, let's try to remove the excuses from our life one by one. So understand that there's different tools for different brokers. So let's look at traditional stock brokers. They're really best for managing stock portfolios, doing fundamental research, things like that. It's for generally the newer trader that's coming along and getting exposed. It's kind of like a gateway portal to online trading, right? So most people starting their investing career by trading stocks, they sign up for a Robinhood account, and then they go, oh, look at that Schwab thing over there. Or, oh, look at Fidelity, or, you know, those kind of things. So you know the usual suspects. If they have a huge marketing budget, they're more than likely a traditional stock broker. And then you get to the options broker. Now, this is where you get into the cool folks, right? So to me, and this is just my own personal opinion, but TDA/ThinkOrSwim and Tastyworks, which are cousins, as you know, more than likely, these are the only two I would put in this category as having organic options DNA. In terms of how they were built from the ground up as options brokerages. They are exceptional for creating and managing options trade on equity and futures options. They are exceptional at that. They are more than adequate for scanning and managing stock positions. In fact, they can be very good at scanning for stock positions, but they're only really viable for trading futures as a swing or portfolio position if you want to add some long or short deltas or something like that. Trading them off a dome, not so much. Not so much. There's compromises everywhere you look. And then there's futures brokers. This is the fast pitch game of the trading world, right? You're scalping, you're in and out very quickly. You've got a very, very fast data feed with very little delay. You've got a very, very fast and responsive dome to make trades off of. Dome stands for depth of market. Some call it a ladder interface. So most options and stock brokers don't support the tools, or if they do support the tools, they're just not fast enough, or the commission rates are just not good enough to be able to be serious about this. You can't experiment with it. You can play around with it, but you're not going to be happy with it. You'll eventually have to move off to something more specialized. So there's a ton of small niche firms out there that specialize in this form of trading. It can require a little bit of persistence. You're going to have to do some homework and have to roll those sleeves up and dig in to understand how to put this together. But it's worth it to do that research because you get much better commissions, much faster and more responsive tools to be able to trade like that. And let's get into the topic of commissions too. They are now the least impacting variable to the retail trader. Can you believe it? Isn't that the best news ever? There's never been a time where the landscape was better for the retail trader from a cost, liquidity, and toolset perspective. And now we have volatility to match that as well too. So don't make cost your number one decision variable. Well, the commissions are higher at this broker, so therefore I'm not going to use them. Always get the best tool for the job, and you'll probably find that it will more than compensate for any slight disadvantage in cost that you'll get that much more edge on the trade. And edge is elusive in this business. And if you can find an advantage, then take it. And it may cost you a little bit more in commissions or exchange fees or something like that, but don't be penny wise and pound foolish. The only time that commission costs can become an issue is with the micro e-minis. The cost incurred can be a serious drag. So do go shopping for better rates on that. So the elasticity is quite a bit in that market. So you can shop for a better rate. Now we get into the world of charts. Okay. So what type of charting package should you use? Well, the first decision that you have to make is, do I use what came with my broker, or do I get something different? So on the left is an E-Trade interface, and there's just a few studies that I can put on there. There's nothing wrong with the charts, but that's kind of the problem is, like, there's just a few studies that I can use. If there's something custom that I want to do with it, if there's something different that I want to use some type of scripting to be able to perform some functions for me. I am SOL. On the right, what I have is TrendSpider. And TrendSpider, I just pulled this up and I can look at multiple timeframes going on at the same time. It's using AI to do trending for me. I just clicked a couple of things on there and there's all kinds of information coming up from TrendSpider on this. So take your pick. One is going to be free, but is free better than paying a little bit more money for some better tools? That's a decision that you'll have to make. Keep in mind the scarcity mindset. Always get the best tools that you can to make the decisions that you need to. Here's some things that I think that you've got to have. It doesn't matter who you go with or what package that you get. I don't want to get religious about this. A lot of people get very, tribal about their charts because it's very personal. It becomes very much a part of them. And they identify with the type of charts that they use. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's great. They can wear that on their sleeve and their badge, right? But regardless of what charting package that you use, you've got to have a strong community of users. And it's got to be backed by a supportive dev staff. It's no good having a strong community of users if there's absolutely zero feedback by the dev staff. So maybe they're understaffed or maybe it's happening in some other country that you just can't get to, right? You've got to have that sort of open source relationship going on. You must have custom scripting or custom study ability. No longer in today's world can you just say, well, all I need is stochastics and MACD and a moving average and that's good enough for me. If that's all that you're doing, tremendous, that's great for you. But edge is so elusive these days is that, you've got to be right on the edge of what's happening. No pun intended there. So to me, I can't even imagine trying to trade without having custom scripting, custom study ability, the ability to alert on things, the ability to scan on different things that nobody else is. You've got to think and be independent. You can't be independent if you're just using the boilerplate that you're given with the charts. So the capabilities of the platform must match your desired style of trading. So like things like this, like if my desired style of trading was to use tick charts, which it is for futures, then that means that I can't use a package like TradingView to chart because they don't support tick charts. I did put it on their requested list, but I'm waiting. So you have to match the charts to what it is that you're trading. Now here's kind of an interesting one. Fat clients versus web-based. Fat versus web. So I came from the old school of, using TradeStation and QCharts and eSignal. And, I would say like 10 to 15 years ago, that's what you had to do if you wanted to be a professional. You had to get away from the broker-based and that was your first big step, right? Yeah. Hey, I've got QCharts or I'm an eSignal customer or something like that. It was very tribal depending on who you signed up with. And man, was it difficult. It was really a system challenge trying to get these to run. If you had, back in the days when you could only address 32 bits, told you I was an engineer, till Windows 7 came along and it kind of opened things up a little bit. We really haven't had the same performance problems as we used to have. So those are, some stories around a campfire that we can all tell. But these days, I love this notion of these browser-based packages are just wonderful. Like, I am using TradingView for different markets and TrendSpider. There's many other ones that are out there. Again, you can just download it. It comes in through your browser and it's fantastic. So they also work really well on mobile as well. That is very, very important. So you can stay in touch with what's going on without having to log in to another broker, be part of the same package. You can use the same settings, right? The same workspace can be on your mobile device. Very important these days. Here's something that's also extremely important to me is alerts and integration. The ability to API to different packages. That is huge. The ability to webhook to other programs. That is enormous. So most of the new web-based charting programs do this natively and as a tremendous feature. What I'm finding is that even packages that were state-of-the-art 5 years ago don't have this capability. So what you've got to do is to bolt on integration services like Zapier to be able to make up the difference between them. And that old engineering thing just never gets too far away from you. And then intelligent charts is something else that I think is important and is going to become more important down the road. This new breed of charts that features AI, which a lot of the old packages don't do, and certainly not an E-Trade package on their interface that's included. So they also offer backtesting performance analysis based on a defined strategy, and you don't have to pay hundreds a month to get something like this. I mean, it's all very, very affordable. So I keep saying this, but the story for retail traders just gets better and better and better. Hope everybody is adjusting to all this social distancing and sequestering and working from home and things like that. I've been doing it now for 15 years, and the first week it was really odd when all of a sudden it's like all my my work buddies are gone and just me and the dog eating lunch and things like that. It's an adjustment. So I hope you guys are making it through. Okay. Step two is of the seven steps is to choose your weapon. Choose your weapon. And one thing that I will always say to you guys is I want you to be a master at one thing. Don't be a jack of all trades and a master of none. So choose your weapon wisely and be a master with that if you're going to go to war with the markets. So trade the right instrument. Look, it's, you know, I don't mean to keep slamming on Robinhood. It's really cute when they gave me a share of stock when I signed up for the account. But, you know, like trading stock is so 1990s these days, you know, because you're buying one share of this and two shares of that. You know, look, all the inflation that the Federal Reserve wanted to get went into the market over the last 10 years. That's where the inflation went. That's where all the money went. And so now, even after a 30% haircut, we still have a relatively expensive stock market and we have people with less capital, disposable tradable risk capital than before. So to me, you need to consider using options, futures, or even options on futures for your trading to get more bang for your buck. Trade the right instrument. And then let's talk about the stock universe, which is when I did a scan this morning, it's got over 14,000 stocks out there. Come on, seriously? So the majority of these are trash. They have no volume. There's no activity. I am not a penny stock trader, never will be. I don't think that is, that's to me is more about gambling than anything else. And they also don't list options on them. So I only trade the 200 most liquid actively traded shares that offer weekly options. There is no point in trading these roach motels. As you know, a roach motel is roaches check in and you can't check out. There's nothing more frustrating, especially in the world of options, to get into a trade that does exactly what you forecasted it to do. In other words, if you forecast the price to go up, it went up and went up by enough and went fast enough, but you still can't get out of the trade because there's no liquidity to get out of it. Hey guys, I'll take questions at the end of this presentation. I want to respect the time limits that we have. So I hope to finish with enough time, more than enough time to take questions at the end of this. So I'll be happy to do that. But in the meantime, I'm going to blaze through this in respect of everybody's time. So I want you to stay below the radar too. And we'll address this in a minute, but there's a level that your subconscious mind picks up on where it senses danger. And all of a sudden you turn into this, you know, Cro-Magnon trying to manage a position and you do silly things. But you don't do silly things if you stay below the radar. For those of you that have said, hey, I'm an excellent paper trader, and then when I start trading live capital, I turn into an idiot. This is why, because you're not below the risk radar. So choosing the right instrument or a strategy can be very important to help you stay below the radar and avoid this problem. And then we have option spreads. Option spreads are something, you know, like for most of you that are just thinking about buying a call or buying a put, I want you to graduate beyond that point into spreads where you can more accurately define your risk on the trade. You can increase the probabilities on the trade. You can reduce the friction and the number of moving parts on that trade. They can help you dial down the risk and play with larger, more volatile stocks. Those are option spreads. And something that's been fairly recent here over the last year's E-mini micro contracts. This is for futures trading. By the way, this is a Tradovate depth of market interface for those that are curious. So E-mini micro contracts are great because per risk tick is in most cases 50 cents, the S&P micro being $1.25 a tick. But when you compare that versus $12.50 a tick for the regular E-mini, which is a really chunky delta gap there, this allows you to stay below that risk radar. So the commissions are not going to be as efficient, but again, don't be penny wise and pound foolish if you get better results with the E-mini micros. Don't let your ego choose the contract. And then finally, mini options, which let's have a moment of silence for the old mini option. They were an effort to help the smaller options trader, but it just was an experiment that just went nowhere. Low liquidity, nobody was trading them, so they were delisted in 2014. But we can do essentially the same thing with the choice of the right stock with regular options that are leveraging 100 shares, right? But if you go with smaller spread widths, you can really trim your risk down. So for those of you with smaller accounts, you can still trade some pretty big instruments. In this case, this is actually GLD. So a pretty expensive stock if you were to play that. But the fact that you have such granular strike prices means that you can make more choices. So there are certain instruments that do cater to the smaller trader. So that's step two, choose your weapon. So we've gone over a couple of these so far, getting the right tool, choosing your weapon. And now step three out of the seven steps to better trading results is to invest in systems. And that means systems development. So creating a cash generating machine requires constant tuning and feedback to work. A lot of people are under the assumption that you can just bolt on a strategy from some vendor that's going to charge you $500 and then you get immediate profits. It just doesn't work like that. Markets change change all the time. So think about this. Market strategy development is actually a simple thing. You're going to provide some form of knowledge into it, hopefully, and you're going to put some type of capital into it. Those are the inputs that you start off with. You're going to have some kind of function inside of here. This is a closed loop system for those of you that know it. You're going to generate some type of profits from there, or losses maybe, and then you're going to learn something from it. You're going to make adjustments, or you better. You're going to make some type of adjustment. Now, most people, the adjustment that they make is on the first loss, they say, well, this thing is terrible. This is an awful system, or that guru's stupid. I'm going to move off and play with some other system. And this is what we do. We just kind of take a couple of trades over here, and then we see some other attractive system over there that somebody is selling for $1,000. We take a couple of trades. We lose a couple of trades. Then we go over here. We try this guy's system over here, take a couple of trades, lose money. Then we go over to this guy's system over here. So we learn a lot about a lot of different things, but we're not learning to make profits. And this does take real work to do this, because it's not only the system that you're learning, but here's the key. You're teaching yourself in terms of what actions that you should take. You're teaching yourself. So if you've ever wondered why something doesn't work or whether it does work, chances are if it doesn't work, I would bet that you're probably trading not to lose, or you are waiting until everything feels just perfect. And as I'll talk about in a few minutes, you got to learn to take the trades that don't feel good, because that's where the magic is. That's where the edge is found. So it's a simple system. Most assume that we can just buy a system and print money, but that's just the very beginning of your job as a trader. So for those of you that are just joining me, welcome aboard to the Tech Wizards Conference. My name is Doc Severson. Going over the 7 steps here, and should be finishing on time, and then I'll take your questions for that. Step 3 requires continuous improvement. Continuous improvement. This is not something you stop doing after one trade. You're going to determine what your goals are. You're going to write up a business plan. You're going to set those rules into place through a trading plan. You're going to put those into the market. You're going to get some kind of results, and you have to analyze those results and say, did these meet my goals or not? And if not, I have to be able to identify the root cause behind that error. And yes, there is a root cause behind every loss. There's a root cause behind every single one of my losses that's out there that I can identify and work from. And then I need to go back to the beginning of the system and say whether or not my goals are adequate. Are they too aggressive? Are they not aggressive enough? And the whole idea here is that over time, what you're going to do is you're going to keep circling through this continuous system, and then you're ultimately going to raise the level of your performance. That's the idea here. This is where the magic happens. This system requires continuous improvement process to it. And to do this, you have to measure everything that you do. Like, here's an example of a tracking spreadsheet that I got. And oh, by the way, for those of you that know this guy, these were all based on the work of Brett Steenbarger, who is a phenomenal resource in this industry. So if you don't know him, get to know the guy, get his books, because this is what he does for a living. And he's been kind enough to share his ideas with us. So these all represent different rules, different trading rules, or different management rules of the trade in play. And then my job is to see for every trade whether or not I followed those rules or whether I had some kind of an issue. And at the end of it, what I have to do is I have to sum up each one of these columns. See if I can do a summation sign here. And it looks like I've got an issue over here. So I've got an issue with my initial stop location, which is not surprising in today's volatility, quite honestly. So that's my root issue for most of these that I have to work on. And then understanding your numbers, understanding your expectancy, understanding your profit factor, your win rate, those kind of things. And little things like whether or not for any given trade, what is my maximum favorable excursion? What is my maximum adverse excursion? Being able to rate those against each other and judge the quality of any particular entry that I'm looking at. I mean, this is the kind of entry I'm looking at where I only take 2 points of heat and I get 95 points of maximum favorable excursion. What did I do right on that trade that I can replicate again and again and again? What did they do wrong on this trade that had, well, honestly, I should have been able to profit from that trade if I got 16 points of favorable excursion, but that's another story. But what did I do wrong in this trade to get that entry, and how can I not do that one again? So this is what this is all about. And then when you get finished doing that, what you're going to do is the old 80-20 rule, use your histogram to figure out which one to work on first. So in this case, for this particular strategy, this is the one that you would work on first. Don't work on this and this and all this other noise. That's not your root issue. This is your main issue right now. Once you cut this out, you've reduced your number of potential losing trades by quite a bit, right? So this is called Pareto analysis. And this is all based on doing analysis based on your trades, which few people are actually doing. And then, oh, by the way, the broker analytics these days plays are terrific. This is an example of a Trade of Eight, which again is a little e-mini micro vendor that I'm using, quite happy with. And, you know, really phenomenal analytics to come out of the trades that really know what your performance is and use those numbers because they're giving them to you. And then journal these things. So not only understand your numbers, but take the time to understand how you are processing the information. What are you doing? You're studying yourself as well as the market. And never forget that. So you've got to find this continuous performance loop because this is where the magic is, guys. Okay, so that is step number three for system development. So I've gone from the techie side, and now we're going to move into a little bit more of the squishy stuff. So we've gone techie, talked about tech wizards and how the right tools and the right weapon and the right systems can really help you. But now we have to deal with that adversary, which is between our ears. And the first thing I'd like to say is this is a rather simple point, but use your brain for processing. Don't use it for storage. And this is, I mean, a lot of us like to remember numbers and remember, keep things in our head and stuff like that. Don't clutter it up. So an example of that would be notebooks. And dear old mom, love her to death, but she's got all of her passwords sitting in all these notebooks. And it's just, it kills me to look at this stuff. They're a really, really poor reference in today's digital world. Now, it plays well in a movie. We all saw Indiana Jones, and we've all seen that magic notebook that he has in Indiana Jones, you know, whichever movie that was. And that's really cool. It plays well in a movie, and it certainly worked well in the 1930s. But today, we need better tools than this. So create your own knowledge base. Create your own knowledge base. So if something passes by through an email, or I stumble upon a web page, or I see some cool technique or something that I need to know, and it's quite often when I don't have the time, or if I'm in the middle of a trade or something, who knows what, you know, it's, we, none of us have any time these days. Then capture it, put it into your own knowledge base. And I'm using Evernote. I've used Evernote for a number of years now when they were still free. They might be still free. I don't know, but it's been a phenomenal resource for me. These days you can also get OneNote. OneNote was one of the first packages that I used, but it wasn't web enabled when I first started using it. So now they are, I finally got with the times. Google Keep is also a great resource for something like that. I don't want to get religious about this. Use whatever you want. I use Evernote. And don't neglect the password manager. Now, I tried to bring this up to dear old mom, but it was not going to get through. But I mean, I think you'd be surprised by how many hundreds of passwords that you have. And they better not all be the same. So get a password manager, have it cloud-based, get rid of the post-it notes, use your brain for processing and not storage. That's step number four. Now we get to the fun stuff. Here's step number five. So seven steps to better trading results. Step number five is to suppress that dinosaur brain. I don't know if you guys have the same problem I do, but man, this has been the most difficult challenge. So trading has always been easy from a technical perspective. You know, buy low, sell high, sell oversold, buy overbought, you know, those kind of things. It's easy to figure out strategies, and it's easy to get excited about strategies. And then when we put them into play, all of a sudden they don't seem to work because we get in the way. And I've always told people this, is that you're not really trading against the market. You're trading versus yourself. You're trading versus yourself. So technology alone will not cut it, guys. You can have the most awesome workstation. You can have a $1 million account. I've worked with people that have $1 million accounts and they lose money like water coming out of a bucket when I first started working with them. And it's like, no, stop what you're doing. It's not working. Just because you have more money just means that you're losing it faster. You can have the best brokers, all the stuff that we talked about earlier. You can have the best charting packages. You can have all the best tech. You can look the best. You can have the best fully functional, you know, ready to go workstation. But if you don't learn to go against your base instincts of survival that we've learned since birth, which is the old dinosaur brain, right? You guys have heard this before, you know, fight or flight response. If you can't get past that, you're going to be a losing trader. You're going to be funding other people's accounts. And that's no fun. We don't want to be funding other people's accounts, but somebody has to do it. So you got to get into neuroscience. Understand neuroscience, which is NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. These are new fields that have seen tremendous leaps lately. If you have results that don't make sense to you, if you do things that you don't understand why you do the things that you do, this is because you're neglecting how your brain actually works. And I think we would all agree that human beings are 100% irrational when it comes to processing risk. As we can see by the gentleman off to the left, this is completely and utterly irrational. But it happens, doesn't it? So this is the herd that we're trading against, guys. Guys like this. So these should be great times for us if we can understand how to go against the crowd. So what you focus on will expand. If you say to yourself, okay, self, no more losing trades. That's precisely what you'll get from that point. No more losing trades. If you focus on the negative, negative, you get more of the same negative results. You say to yourself, all right, no more debt. You're going to get more debt. So stop pushing the piece of string across the table. Learn to pull on it on the other side. Push that rock up over the hill and then to the other side. Don't focus on what you don't want. You got to retrain your brain. Retrain that subconscious mind. It's your inner voice that thinks that risk is bad. Guess what? You've been taught ever since you were a little kid that risk is a bad thing. Johnny, don't go across the street. You might get hit by a car. Don't play in a freeway again. Now, we've been taught since we were little kids that risk is a bad thing. And so that's why our parents tried to get us into conservative jobs. You know, well, you should be an attorney. You should be an accountant. Those are, you know, good conservative jobs, things like this. But, you know, so that does not go away. So we go out into the market and we say, all right, I want to do the safe thing. I can't tell you how many times I've been involved in conversations with traders that say, Doc, can you tell me what the safest, most secure trade that I can do is? And I would say to them, yes, quite honestly, it's called money market. Money market. Go down to your bank and go get a money market certificate of deposit. No risk equals no reward. So we have to retrain ourselves. We have to start from scratch and we have to retrain our inner conscious to say, hey, risk is good. There's nothing wrong with risk. It's a tool. Why do you think insurance companies are extraordinarily profitable? They have embraced risk, but they understand how to manage it. Risk is just a tool. It's not bad. Stop looking for reduced risk. Manage your risk. The best way to do this is back to this guy again. Repetition is the mother of skill. Turn each trade into a learning loop. Do hundreds of trades. Do hundreds of trades. And bless his heart, I mean, this is exactly what a guy like Tom Sosnoff will tell you. Do many, 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 many small trades. Love that guy. You must teach your subconscious mind that your trading strategy is not a threat to your survival. And after you do 100 trades, all of a sudden you'll understand that it doesn't. If you do it right, if you learn to manage risk, it's not going to hurt you. And you can start to see edge. So repetitions on a strategy are critical, as is staying below the radar. You got to keep your position size small. Stay below the radar. Don't get painted by the radar. If you show up on your risk radar, that is when you lose sleep at night. That's when you start making those silly decisions. That's when you start acting like, you know, the caveman on the Geico commercials, right? We just start doing things that we can't explain later. Like, wow, I don't know why I bailed on that position. That was stupid. It was stupid. No, it's part of your DNA. That's the way you were trained. It's the fight or flight response. And you've got to either decide that you're going to get rid of that when it comes to trading, or you're going to be funding other people's accounts. And we don't want to do that. So step five, tame that dinosaur brain. Now, some ways that we can do that, step six, and we're almost done here. Step six are through habits. And here's a couple of resources that I found extraordinarily useful is Atomic Habits by James Clear. This came out in 2018, brand new. And this one by Scott Adams, you guys might know him as the artist of the cartoon Dilbert. He's also quite a talented author and quite a controversial and provocative Twitter personality as well, too. His talent stack is quite something. How to Fail at Almost Everything and Still Win. And he's got a great quote in his book, Goals Versus Systems. Goals are for losers, systems are for winners. And I love this one from James Clear. Systems are for people who care about winning repeatedly. Goals are for people who care about winning once. Which one are you? So most of us have goals. We win once and we think we're done. But we have to focus on building systems when it comes to winning and not just creating arbitrary goals. We also have to work on our identity. Decide the type of person or the type of role that you want to be. Prove it to yourself with small wins. Every habit that you repeat is a vote for the type of person you want to be. If every time that you follow your rules 100% on every trade that you do is a vote for the type of trader or person that you want to be. If you want to be a profitable trader, how would they act? Can you think of somebody that you can identify with and say, boy, if I could only trade like that person, what would they do? How would they act? What habits would they display? And get used to the idea of small wins. A lot of positions, a lot of trades, a lot of repetition, small wins, small risk. Becoming a profitable trader is not something that happens in a day. It's not a step function. It comes through the aggregation of these small incremental changes to your actions and thoughts over time. Even very small wins repeated daily will add up to astonishing amounts over time. Remember what Einstein said about compound interest. Okay, so step six, habits are key. And then we get into seven. Step seven, social distancing. How appropriate for today. Social distance your trading. How are you going to separate yourself from the herd if you're accepting direction from others? Ooh, boy. Okay, so we're used to this. And this is something different. This is very different from people even 10 years ago. Because now what do? We, you know, like, well, I want to eat somewhere tonight. Or where can I get carry out? Now is the, okay, should we go to Bacon Bros? those, they're only 4 stars, okay? Based on 696 individual discrete pieces of feedback. Or I'm in the market for a ninja sword and maybe I should look for one on Amazon. Ooh, this one's got 5 stars and 29 people think this is just the greatest ninja sword ever for $30 because it comes with a throwing knife set with sheath. The sheath is very important. So we become accustomed to taking the input from other people without question, without qualifying anything. We are socializing our decision. Where should we go? I don't know. Let's let somebody else tell us where to eat. And we just don't think anything of it. What should I buy? I don't know. Let's let somebody else tell us what to buy. So where's our edge with that? Where does trading edge come from anyway? It's from taking the other side of the trade from the herd. I hope this is not new information for you. It's generally going against the grain is where your edge is going to be on the trade. So how are you going to separate yourself from the herd if you're taking directions from other people on social media? How is this different from a Yelp review? Here's a great example of this is Luckin Coffee, which today is just getting taken out back and shot. And this is the Chinese version of Starbucks. Well, it wasn't that long ago that this was like on everybody's Twitterati list. They're like, oh, I'm looking for at least $40 a share on this one. You know, like following other people. It's great to get ideas. It's great to get exposure for things, but learn to think independently. Separate yourself. Thou has to be independent. You've got to be willing to go against the crowd, to be independent, to make the difficult decisions in order to be successful. In order to be successful, it's hard to go against the crowd because we're pack animals at herd, right? Isn't this, I mean, think about this. What is our favorite thing to do? Our favorite thing to do is be, let's go to a party. Let's go to a football stadium where 100,000 people are there cheering for the same team. We want to be something part of something bigger than ourselves. It's in our nature. We are pack animals, except for traders. Traders are all introverts that love social distancing, right? But no, seriously, we all love to get out there. We all like to be part of something bigger than ourselves. We all like to feel that we're part of a big crowd and run with a pack. It's just very natural. But again, think about all the things I've said. You got to go against your base instincts. This is why people don't cut it as traders, because they can't learn to go against their inherent DNA. And this becomes very interesting. And this is why I will say again and again, you're not really trading against the market. You're trading against yourself. You're trading against your own conditioning. You're trading against your own DNA. And as soon as you can learn to hack that and learn to think opposite to the crowd, then you can start to build some edge. It's not going to feel comfortable. It's not going to feel good. It feels very painful to go against the crowd and to go long when everybody is just selling like crazy, as we did last week. So that's step 7. And those are my 7 steps. And so what I'd like to do is to summarize here. Okay. So 1, choose the right tools. Choose the right weapons. Great systems for your trading. Use your brain for processing and not storage. Suppress the dinosaur brain. Progress comes with your habits and incremental improvement, incremental profits. And then socially distance your ideas. Be independent. So if you're wondering how you can start with something like this, I just have a quick offer for you guys today, and then I will be happy to take your questions with the next 5 minutes that I have. So if you'd like to see how these elements are brought together on a daily basis, our goal, our why we exist at Ready, Set, Trade is we want to show you how to build all of this together into an integrated system. Our goal is to show people how to build a system and make $100 a day. I think that'll pay some bills. Use code WIZARD if you want to jump right on board and get started. Go to our site at readyset.trade and find the join and use code WIZARD at checkout. Get 20% off. And that's for life. You sign up, you get 20% off for life as long as you're a subscriber. Or if you just want to join something for free, join our Discord, join our community over here. Go to readyset.trade/wizard for free access to our Discord community. And with that, my friends, thank you for your attention. It's good to see you guys. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the session. I've just got a couple of minutes for any questions, if you have anything. Steve likes the pretty colors. That's cool. Ken is asking, is TrendSpider an example of the AI charting that you mentioned? Yes, that is correct. They do have a lot of very smart features in TrendSpider, who I believe presented this morning, and they have been really, really cool to work with. I've enjoyed TrendSpider. Okay, so any other questions while I'm still here? Otherwise, I invite you guys to reach out to me. If you have any questions, you can reach me at doc@readyset.trade. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you guys hanging in there. Appreciate your attention. I hope this makes a difference for you guys. Remember, you got to think differently. Be independent. Make the difficult decisions. If you're about to grab an air sickness bag when you go to enter a trade, you're probably doing it right. You're probably doing it right. But keep below the risk radar. If you do, then you won't sense that. Thanks, everybody. Have yourself a great rest of the presentation, and I will surrender control of the screen back to David. Thank you very much for our hosts at Timing Research and Trade Out Loud.
All right, thanks, Doc. Great presentation. So I was just going to mention, too, that Doc was my first guest on my first Timing Research event almost six years ago. So always great to have him back on
looking
one of the
forward
events.
To the next one.
Yeah, and hope to have you back soon. So thanks, Doc.
And I'll be back tomorrow where tomorrow's panel.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If for anyone who hasn't seen this yet, we will be doing a panel discussion at 1 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow with several of the presenters from this event. So Doc will be back for that. And thanks, Doc.
Adios, folks. Stay safe out there.